Well, I want to continue some thoughts. 2 weeks ago, I talked about, does God exist? And a few weeks before that, we looked at, is Jesus the Son of God? So kind of keeping in that type of thought, I want to talk about the theory of evolution and why it simply does not work. There are only three possible explanations when it comes to the origin of our universe. Either the universe itself is eternal, it's always existed, has no beginning, will have no end, or the universe spontaneously created itself, and what that means is that it created itself from nothing, and just all of a sudden, boom, here something is. Or the last is that God, in fact, created the universe. I want to go back to this particular slide, and I thought I had copied that, but I don't know. I put this up here, and this is the only time that you're going to see this. I don't know if you had a chance to read it. I want to read it for you. This idea of spontaneous creating itself, that's what is the theory of evolution is talking about. It's talking about all of these things coming together by chance and time, and they need billions of years. They need long periods of time. But the human eye needs about 40 subsystems all working together and in harmony with each other. It is a very complicated thing. Logically, they all had to appear instantly together or we would all be blind. And this is the type of things that I reason when I talk to you about the woodpecker and things like that, that this woodpecker knocks his brain out until he finally develops and he thinks, and he finally develops all of the right pieces and parts over long periods of time. It just doesn't make any sense. But when you just take pieces and part of creation, and we talked about that when we studied about the does God exist? And I'll review that in just a moment. But when we think about the universe, there's really, where did it come from? Well, it either was always here or it just came about from nothing spontaneously, or God created the universe. Here is a man by the name of Robert Jastrow. He's the founder and former director of the Goddard Institute of Space Studies at NASA. He's a materialist or a naturalist, and a naturalist is the idea of belief that only natural laws and forces operate in the world. In other words, God doesn't exist, it's just nature. The universe and everything that has happened, he said, and since the beginning of time, are a grand effect without a cause, an effect without a known cause. This is not the world of science. It is the world of witchcraft, of wild events and whims of demons and medieval world that science has tried to banish. As scientists, what are we to make of this picture? I do not know. In other words, if you understand what he's saying, he says that somehow we're trying to say that all of this happened and we don't know what the cause is. And if we don't know what the cause is, then that's in the different realm of, as he says, wild witchcraft and those things. But what are we to make of that? Well, look at as he goes on. The seed of everything that has happened in the universe was planted in that first instant. Every star, every planet, every living creature in the universe came into being as a result of events that were set in motion in the moment of cosmic explosion. The universe flashed into being, and we cannot find out what caused that to happen. And so that kind of goes back to one of the quotes I used 2 weeks ago where the man that we quoted basically said, none of this makes sense, and it certainly is impossible to think this way, but that's what I'm going to think because I don't want to believe in God. And that's exactly how stubborn people are. If you think about this, if we conclude that God exists, then we start realizing there is responsibility. He has communicated something. There's accountability. And we don't want to have any kind of accountability. Well, 2 weeks ago, we looked at, does God exist? And we looked at creation. Design demands a designer. I started watching a series on Netflix that Will Smith hosts, and it's about this strange rock that we live on. And I actually had a couple of minutes this morning where I sat down and I put it on the first one. I thought, well, maybe there'll be something here. And sure enough, it starts talking about the sun. And it said the sun is closer to Mars. Mars is closer to the sun. And then they explain that it is the sun that has destroyed that planet that started out like us. And then it backed off. And the thing that it was said was, but Earth, which is closer to the sun? How come we aren't having this happen? Well, this is where I stopped because I only watched about 5 minutes or so. But basically, they said the Earth has a shield, right? It's that layer that we have. And the thing that they talk about is the billions of years and things of that nature. And this is going to be the case in this particular program that he is narrating. But I look at this and go, yeah, this is just an accident that somehow our planet has this shield that protects us from the radiation of the sun. That's nonsense. There's design, and that design demands a designer. We talked about the moral law within. We talked about how man has this moral sense. You don't steal, you don't murder. We talked about how man worships throughout all generations and all civilizations. Man has looked to a higher being. And so we think some of the basic questions. How did life begin? Well, either the universe is eternal, or the universe created itself, or God created the universe. We're back to again. And so is it logical or reasonable to believe that the universe is eternal when everything we see is that's not the case, that matter is not eternal? Is it logical to believe that the universe created itself from nothing? And that's not even logical. Is it logical and reasonable to believe that God created the universe? And so we're talking about using our God-given ability to think, logic. We often talk about a lack of common sense that's going on today. But is it logical and reasonable to believe that God has created the universe? Well, let's talk about some science. All right, so now listen, I'm not a scientist, but I have tried to break this down to make this about as simple as you can get. I'm sure Dylan is studying this, and Rebecca, and Ethan, and everybody, you're going to be talking about these laws. These laws of science. These things that they count on to be true. And we know that man has counted on laws to be true, and then they found that they are not true. But let's talk about a few. Let's examine a few other arguments against the theory of evolution and show how it just does not work. The first is in this law, first law of thermodynamics. It's also called the law of conservation. And basically it states, and that's right here, that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. And so we can't create energy and we can't destroy energy. And so let me try to explain that and break that down. Basically what you're seeing here on this scale is, and this says zero right here, by the way, you may not be able to see that. But basically the first law of thermodynamics, energy transformation. The energy that was in something before is transferred and it is the same amount in the energy after. There's an equality. You don't lose any. It's not created and it's not destroyed. Okay, so that's the first law. So let's take a campfire. This is an illustration of first law of thermodynamics. There's kinetic energy stored, and you remember you study about kinetic energy. It's stored energy. There's stored energy in the log. That energy, when it is burned, is released. It's released in the form of light. It's released in the form of heat. The two are equal. Whatever was stored in the log is then transferred either in heat or in light. You don't lose any energy. That's the first law of thermodynamics. Does everybody understand that? And what is produced is actually carbon monoxide. All right? And so we understand that's why you don't put your car in the garage and don't open the garage door. This is why we have carbon monoxide detectors in case a furnace is not running properly, and it's because we can't handle carbon monoxide. But the dioxide, is it dioxide or monoxide? Anyway, that's what's going on. Let me show you another quote. This is from John Anderson Lanier. I see poetry in this process. A tree labors patiently for decades at the task of growing, meticulously sipping carbon dioxide, there we go, from the air and splitting it with the energy of the sun. The three gifts the unneeded oxygen back into our atmosphere and keeps the carbon for itself, bonding it to other atoms to form its trunk and limbs and leaves. When the tree grows old and dies, the stored carbon offers a ripened source of fuel that will be gladly given abundant warmth and light. What took years to build will burn away in mere minutes as if one dazzling celebration of a life well lived. Now again, that just shows what's going on here. And so the first law is stating that you don't have a loss of energy and you can't create it. You don't destroy it. What is there is it's turned around and it's put back in what is equal to what came out is equal to what it began with. So what do you think when you think about the Big Bang Theory and this law? Well, if energy can neither be created or destroyed, it cannot be spontaneously generated from nothing. That's an impossible thing. Do you see that? If it can't be, if not, and it goes back to Aristotle said, nothing is what rocks dream about. And again, nothing is nothing. So this idea that somehow nothing spontaneously generates something, that's an impossibility. So to think that somehow energy, which can't be created in and of itself, or isn't destroyed, how did this somehow happen? See, in other words, the Big Bang Theory violates this very law that scientists often, and they do rely on. So if energy is neither created or destroyed, well, where did it come from? Well, if we can rule out the universe has spontaneously created itself, we can rule that one out. So where did it come from? We'll look at John chapter 1 and verse 3, which is what Brother Crosland read for us. John chapter 1 and in verse 3, all things were made through him, speaking of Jesus, and without him nothing was made that was made. Where did it come from? If energy can't be created, if we can't create energy and we cannot destroy it, where did it come from? And the explanation would be God created it. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are visible. Were not made of things which are visible. Excuse me. That not is important. All right. So again, what we see is by faith we believe that God created the world. So it goes back to that question, is it logical to believe this? Reasonable to believe that God created when we start talking about these things? Look at Hebrews 1 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 3. This is speaking of Jesus as well. It says, who, being the brightness of his glory, speaking of Christ, and the express image of his person, speaking of the image of his Father, whom also he made the world, I'm sorry, and upholding all things, verse 3, by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So how are things sustained? How are things upheld? It's upheld by God. It's upheld by Jesus who was there in creation. And this may be hard to comprehend because we don't see things that are eternal. We have to see the eternal things with our faith. But everything around us, this podium, you know, everything that's physical, things decay. All right, so if you look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 17, listen to what Paul told the church at Colossae. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So the Bible tells us that God has always existed. God upholds things, sustains things with his power, his creation. And though it's hard to comprehend, there is an all-knowing, all-powerful, supreme being that has put all of this into existence. There is an argument that to be made that we didn't look at when it comes to does God exist. And the argument is, God is the uncaused first cause. And basically what that argument is that you have to take, okay, where did the Big Bang come from? And so you back it all up. Well, what blew up? Well, where did that come from? And no matter where you back it up to, understanding the first law of thermodynamics and how nothing comes from nothing and those types of things, and that energy is not created or destroyed in the world that we know, then we back it all the way up. And you have to say, well, there had to be a first cause. And God is the unknown first cause. You see the argument? God is the unknown first cause. And so you back it up and you have to say, well, how did all this get started? You and I believe it's God. Those that believe in evolution believe it was something out there that we cannot explain or we don't even know. And it finds itself in the realm of witchcraft. You go back to that quote. But we understand that, you and I understand that Genesis 1 and verse 1 just simply states, and can you think of a more perfect way to start the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the story unfolds, and it just goes right from the start that this is the fact, and here we go. And I believe that to be true. If you look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, you have Paul, who's come into the city of Athens, and he sees all the idolatry all over the city. And he begins to tell them about the true and living God. He found a marker to the unknown God. And so he uses that as a segue to say, well, let me tell you about this unknown God. And look at what he says there in verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Paul appealed to the Gentiles and even what they were saying and know to be true, that all is the offspring of God. And so we see that, you know, where did energy come from? God created it. God created it. The other cannot be explained by the theory, or that cannot be explained. Energy cannot be explained from the Big Bang theory, from evolution. The second law of thermodynamics is this, and you can put that word together. I think you can spell it apart. The first part of this law states that heat always flows from hot to cold and not cold to hot. Let me try to explain that. All right, so it never spontaneously flows the other way. All right, so let me try to explain this with this up here, and then I'll give you some other illustrations. All right, so if you put ice into some hot iced tea, the cold is not transferred to the hot. The hot is transferred into the ice, which cools. The energy is released, okay? And thus, what happens to the ice? The ice melts, okay? The ice melts. It'll make the drink cold because the hot is releasing the heat. It does not flow the other way. Cold does not leave the ice and go into the hot, okay? That's the second law of thermodynamics. Now, that's not the way we think. In other words, let's see, I think I have another illustration here. I have a few, actually, to help us understand that. But the point I want you to see is it never spontaneously flows the other way. In other words, it can't just all of a sudden, cold is transferred to hot. And you might think, well, then, how do we cool the building? Well, we have to introduce a system to make that happen. It's called the refrigeration system. We have to take power and we have to use refrigeration and we have to make it work the other way, okay? But in and of itself, without that extra system, cold does not flow to hot. Hot flows to cold. That's the second law of thermodynamics. So ice, when it's placed in the hot water, the water cools, but the heat is transferred to the ice, which causes it to melt. When ice melts, it does not freeze again when placed over hot water because the heat is transferred from cold to hot. Now, let me say that again because I think that'll help you understand that. When ice melts, it does not freeze again when placed over hot water because the heat is transferred from cold to the hot. It doesn't do that, okay? So it won't refreeze, all right? Now, a second part of this, which is more important, I think, to our study. Well, this is another illustration I wanted you to see because I started thinking about, well, why does my hand get cold? You hold ice. It's the same principle. The heat is coming out of your hand and not the other way around. But in our mind, we think what? We think the cold is going into our hand. But it's actually the heat leaving our hand, which leaves our hand cold. Everybody on the same page? Okay, so that's the law, the second law of thermodynamics. Another part of this, though, is entropy. It's the lack of order or predictability, gradually decline into disorder. You break an egg. You never see the egg spontaneously unbreak itself. Does everybody understand? You can stare at that egg from now till the end of eternity, and it will never unbreak itself. spontaneous, just all of a sudden do that. Okay? That's what law we're talking about. The disorder of a closed system is always increasing. All right, so what's our closed system? Well, the universe is a closed system. So working in the parameter of our universe, nothing is interacting from it with, from the outside. So our universe is constantly becoming disorderly. And this is the law that our the earth is, you know, right now, I think I told you a while back that I read something that they're saying that the earth is starting to slowly do like this, like you spin a top and then eventually it starts wobbling and all. They're saying that this the earth is starting. This idea of things that the lack of order. Now, you have to introduce God who's upholding and sustaining all this. So do that in your mind as to why this keeps going, because God is part of the equation as we understand it and believe, but they do not. So our universe is constantly becoming more disorderly. Here's an example. Dishes left in a sink never clean themselves. They never spontaneously just all of a sudden clean themselves. It just does not happen. We have to work. We have to introduce energy to straighten it up and clean it up, right? What happens to a house if it's not maintained? It's going to deteriorate, right? It will deteriorate. Well, the Bible agrees with this. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. If you just leave something, let's say Emily over there, she leaves her room to itself and doesn't do anything. And Chad and Susan just kind of let her do that. Well, it will always just get dirtier, more dust, more mold, more musty, those types of things. It won't just get itself back, all right? So what does the Bible say about this? Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the work of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will grow old like a garment. And so, again, we see that even in the scriptures that the Bible agrees. They grow old like a garment. So what this does is this rules out our initial possibility that the universe is eternal. There's nothing by this law that says the universe itself is eternal, right? So because we rule that out and we rule out the universe spontaneously created by itself, we're left with our third, and that is that God created the universe. It did not spontaneously create itself. Now, what we have left is an eternal God, an eternal creator. Let's look at a few passages. In Psalm 90 and verse 2. Psalm 90 and in verse 2. That's why these passages are so powerful and so wonderful. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. There's our explanation. There is our explanation. An eternal God, an eternal creator. Look at Psalm 14. Psalm 14. In the first three verses. You remember when Paul told the Corinthians, not many wise are called. I think they think they're just smarter than everybody else. But in reality, you remember, I know I've said this a number of times over the years. Y'all are really smart people. You really are. And I don't mean that in a sarcastic way. You have figured out what life's about. You have figured out there is a God. And you have willingly submitted to Him and to His Son. And you've washed away your sins. You're very intelligent and smart. You're using what God gave you. And you can be a very simple person and be able to understand these things. Then you get these smarty pants that call themselves scientists. And they break all the rules and say, I don't care. I can't believe in the alternative, and that is that there is a God. So the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. And so you and I recognize that, you know, I'm not good, and we humble ourselves. But the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And it is kind of foolish when we break some of this down to even think that this is logical or even reasonable to believe that God does not exist. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. There's our answer to our questions of who am I, where am I, and where am I headed? God. In Psalm 33, and in verse 6, the psalmist says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Jump on down to verse 9. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And so you interject God into the equation, and we looked at Hebrews and how the earth is sustained. You know, and so if the earth is supposed to be starting to wobble, the Lord is able to sustain his creation. For certain. So the answers to our most important questions of life are answered when we have faith, our belief in God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, by faith, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Isn't it an incredible thought to think that such a powerful creator wants to have a relationship with you and I? Think about that. Isn't it incredible that he wants to have a relationship with you and I? In fact, Chad led us in the song, Come Share the Lord. That is the idea of communion, fellowship. One of the verses say he's here and we're communing with him. Isn't that incredible that an all-knowing God that's eternal has always existed, by his word can speak and things come into existence. And everything that we understand about God wants to have a relationship with you and I. Don't you want the blessings of knowing that God is with you and not against you? Well, what is it that severs your relationship with your Creator? It's sin. And there's none of us that are good. We just read that. All have sinned, all fall short. There is none righteous, no, not one. So we have to do something about sin. I couldn't do anything about that. The wages of that was death. What would I pay? What could I give? There was nothing that I could give to God who has it all. So God, because he loves his creation, he loves man, he gave his son. And his son was offered to die for my sins. That's an incredible testament to the love of God, that he would do that to reestablish a relationship that was just in our stubbornness and our wickedness. We sin, we disobey, we turn away from God. But God provided us a way whereby we might be saved. Maybe you're here this morning. Are you ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Humble yourself, come forward and repent of your sins, confess your belief in Christ, and be baptized to wash your sins away. Maybe you're here and there's sin in your life. There's things that are amiss. Can we pray with you and for you? God wants you to have that relationship, but sin, once again, can destroy it. But God's love is so majestic that he offers a way for us to come back to him, even though we had taken advantage of being a child of God before. We can pray. We can turn from our sins. We acknowledge it, and God is faithful to forgive us. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.